Praise the Lord. Well, welcome all of you here today. Those of you joining us online, we want to welcome you and wish you a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Would you agree that if someone who was dead got up a couple days later and walked away from his own funeral, that that would be a national event worthy of news, probably topping the news stories of the day? Well, that's exactly what happened many, many, many years ago when Jesus rose from the dead. And they went to his grave and he wasn't there. He had been there, sealed with a huge, huge stone, guarded by Roman soldiers and sealed with an official Roman seal. And it was all opened and he wasn't there. The Pharisees tried to say that the disciples stole him and hid his body. But how many of you know that people will rarely die for a lie? They'll die for the truth, but they won't die for a lie. And history records that these disciples of Jesus, every single one of them died by martyrdom, except John the Baptist, although they did, or John the disciple whom Jesus loved, and they tried to boil him in a pot of oil, and he wouldn't burn. So they took him out of the pot and put him on the Isle of Patmos, where God gave him the book of Revelation. You see, you can't keep a God-man down. And so today, I just want to tell you that today is not a day about rabbits and eggs. In fact, I love the term Resurrection Sunday actually over Easter because it really just gets right to the point. It's all about the resurrection of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? So today I've titled this sermon, It's All About Life. It's all about life. And I've given you an outline. How many of you just have an outline that has a bunch of scriptures on it? Do you have that? Okay, that's the outline. That's for you to take home. Now I know some of those are going to be small. And those of you that have already progressed to progressive lenses or to, presbyopia, where you've got to have some spectacles to read things, that is going to be a little too small for you. So I'll also have these scriptures on the screen behind me. And this week, we do have all of the scriptures. I'm pretty positive. Now, one Easter resurrection morning, there was a woman who was on her way to church, and her car broke down. So, not wanting to be late for the special service, she ordered an Uber to pick her up, and the car arrived, and she quickly jumps into the back. And halfway through the drive, the rider, the lady, she asked the driver a question, but the driver didn't respond. And so she leaned forward and just tapped the driver on the arm. And that driver let out a loud scream, swerved into the other lane, almost hit another car, slammed on the brakes, and skidded over to the shoulder. And the woman and driver, they just kind of sat in silence for a moment from the shock of what had just happened. And finally, she said apologetically, she said, "Wow, I am so sorry. I had no idea that tapping your shoulder would alarm you like that." To which he said, "No, you really didn't do anything wrong. It's just that it's my first day driving an Uber. You see, for the last 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." It's often scary, very many times uncomfortable for people to discuss the topic of death. But as Christians, we have the hope and we have the joy of knowing that Jesus has overcome death and conquered the grave because of his victory, and we have nothing to fear. So I'm going to open up today out of the book of John, chapter 10. I've used this scripture in our miracle series. I'm going to return to it because within it is the resurrection story. Now I want you to see this, John 10, verses 9 through 11. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." I have a question for you. Have you entered that door? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Everybody say, that's the devil. Now, I want you to know this. Listen to this again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come for any other reason than to steal from you, kill from you, or to destroy from you. The devil doesn't come to show you a good time. I just thought I'd tell you that. That's what Jesus said. That's the only reason he came. But he said, I came, watch this, that they may have life. Everybody say it's all about life. And have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. Everybody say, that's the resurrection. You see, he laid down his life so that he would take it again. Now watch this. No one has taken it away from me. Jesus was not murdered. He did what he did willingly. He said, no one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Now pay attention to this. Jesus said, I have authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my father. My dad gave this to me. Some of the questions that mankind has tried to answer about death are fourfold. Why is there death? Is death the end? Is there life after death? And will we live again? Right now, in Scottsdale, Arizona, 227 people are banking on the idea that modern science will someday find or engineer a fountain of youth, while another 1,424 people are signed up as members. Those 227 people are all deceased, and they are called patients at the Alcor Life Extension Institute located over in Scottsdale, where their bodies have been frozen in liquid nitrogen at 320 degrees below zero, awaiting the day when medical science discovers a way to make death and aging a thing of the past. The cost includes monthly dues and a life insurance policy of at least $220,000. Sounds like science fiction. It's called cryonics. You can check this all out online. But I am here today to tell you that Jesus offers a more certain way to bring about hope of eternal life than cryonics. And it won't cost you $220,000 life insurance policy. It doesn't cost you any membership dues. All it costs is you to admit you need Jesus, that you're a sinner, that you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and just like that, turn from your ways, walk with Jesus, you have eternal life. It's that simple. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jesus everything. And I am just here to say that Jesus is the only one who has power over death. Can I get an amen? Not only in this life, not only in his own life, but also in the lives of every one of us, if we'll allow him. Death is here. Can I just say this in answer to one of the questions? Why is there death? Death is here because sin is here. Sin is here because Adam and Eve brought it in. The enemy tempted them just like he tempts you, just like he tempts everybody that ever lives. And how many of you, you've been tempted and you've succumbed to it? Makes us a sinner, right? How many of you parents ever taught your children to lie? You sat them down and said, okay, now this is how you lie. All right, Joey, here's how you lie. When I ask you a question, tell me the absolute opposite. You don't sit there and tell them how to lie. Now when I ask you this question, how many of your parents, your children, ever lie? Mm-hmm. It came natural. It came because sin is there. And the Bible says in this chapter of Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is, watch this, it's all about life, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus. Medical science can't do it. Now, a doctor can bring some people back to life, but he can't keep them living. They will one day die again. But when they die, if they know Jesus, they still live. I see a whole family in the back row. Norm still lives. He's still living. The day he breathed his last, that was just here. He's still alive. My grandpa's still alive. My uncle's still alive. My grandma's still alive in heaven. And I've been sharing with you for many weeks now about the miracles of Jesus, and I want to weave this. I want to look today on Resurrection Sunday at the miracles of life over death that Jesus performed while he was here. He performed three resurrections while he was here. Then he died and performed another one, his own. You say, no, wait, Pastor, Jesus did that? Well, Jesus is part of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to see that here in just a minute. Jesus raised three people from the dead during his ministry, and I want to look at the first account of these amazing resurrections from Scripture. Are you ready? Jesus' first resurrection was of a widow's son in Nain. Look at Luke chapter 7. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James on this one. Verses 11 through 17. This is a great 7-11. Luke 7-11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him, Jesus presented him to his mother, and fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region, hence the crowds. I mean, don't you think if somebody rose somebody from the dead, that's a way to get a crowd? You could probably pack out the Phoenix, you know, convention center. We've seen this one. Jairus in Capernaum was a synagogue official whose daughter was sick and to the point of death. 12-year-old girl. And he comes seeking help from Jesus for this critically ill daughter. Now, you've already seen this story, heard this story, but let me take you through it because some of you haven't been here through that series, and I want to just thank you for everybody that's here, those of you visiting, maybe also for the first time, thank you for being with us. Look at Luke chapter 8, verses 40 and 42, and then 49 through 56, New American Standard. Watch this. And as Jesus was returning, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him, and a man named Jairus came, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began urging him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, kind of like the widow of Nain, only child, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him, and while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. But when Jesus heard this, he responded to him, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well. He told the widow of Nain, stop crying. He told the father, stop weeping. Don't be afraid. And when he comes to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter, John, and James, because he only wanted faith around. How many of you know there's always somebody saying that? You can't do that. Well, we believe God for that. Well, I've never seen God do that. Excuse me. We believe God can do this. Amen? That's what Jesus did. He got doubt out of the room. He had Mama, Daddy, Peter, James, and John, and himself. And they're all weeping. They're mourning for her. But he says, stop weeping, for she has not died, only asleep. And they began to laugh at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and spoke forcefully, saying, child, arise. And her spirit returned. And she got up immediately, and he ordered that something be given to her eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Now notice this. Her spirit returned. It's the spirit that makes this body go. It's the Spirit of God who breathed into the nostrils of the drawing that he made in dirt, that he called Adam and gave him life. And from that first breath, breath in humanity has continued. Take a good deep one in. That ultimately, yeah, it came from mom and daddy. It came from grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandma, grandpa, great-great-great, great, on and on, all the way up to Adam. To God. What's it all about? Life. Are you with me? And he held her hand, and he commands her to arise, and she does, and her parents are astonished. Thirdly, Jesus' third resurrection involved his friend Lazarus. And despite knowing that Lazarus was sick, Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick 2 days before he even went down there, and he wasn't only about 2 miles away. Well, that sounds like an uncaring pastor, doesn't it? Even to the point where when he gets there, Mary's like, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. How many of you have ever done that with God? God, if you'd have only done what I asked you to do, it wouldn't have happened like that. Amen. I know nobody at Celebration Church does that, but all the people out there listening online do, right? Amen. Despite knowing Lazarus is ill, Jesus arrives in Bethany 2 days later after Lazarus is dead. He's been dead for a while. And at the tomb, Jesus is comforting Martha, asserting his power over life and death, and he then prays and commands Lazarus to rise, and Lazarus does. Now, let's read it. John 11. We're going to read verses 32 through 46, and I figure the Bible, God's words, are better than any I could come up with to explain it. So let's just read it. So when Mary came to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. Can I give you another scripture? He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. The shortest verse in all the Bible is coming up here in just a second. He's deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And verse 34 says, he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Here it is. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in all the Bible, but I could preach a real long message on it, which I won't today. But I could. You see, a lot of times, I'll just say this. A lot of times people go, well, why would Jesus weep if he knows he's going to raise him from the dead? Because he can identify with the feelings that Mary had. And you see, Jesus didn't come when he knew Lazarus was sick because there was a greater miracle going to happen, not just a healing, but a resurrection. And Jesus also knew because of this resurrection, many would believe in God. to the point where the Pharisees are even wanting to kill Lazarus because many were coming to Jesus because of him. Watch this. Verse 36. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could this man who opened the eyes of the man who was blind not have also kept this man from dying? Do you see? Everybody's in the same boat in their thinking process. Can I just say this? If it sounds odd, it's probably God. If it doesn't fit in with your way of thinking, it's probably God. Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. You see, we as human beings, we'd rather run from trouble than let God help us through trouble. We'd just soon not have trouble. But Jesus said in this world, guess what? You're going to have some trouble, child. Anybody in the room having trouble today? Anybody in the room have trouble with relationships? The person you're living with, the person you're married to? Do you guys always agree? If you do, I'm going to have some counseling sessions with you. With you counseling me. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 38. So Jesus, again being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. I think the King James Version says, he stinketh. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, but I knew that you always hear me. Nevertheless, because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Or come forth, and out came the man who had died, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in Jesus. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things which Jesus had done. So as Jesus tells Martha, I want you to notice, he said, didn't I tell you that I was going to do something? Now, here's what he says. Actually, you had to go up in verses 25 and 26 to see it. Here's what he said. He tells Martha this before he resurrects Lazarus. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do we have that? Can we pull that up? I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. How many of you know that's who we should be looking at right now? There is no government on this planet that can give you life. There is no church. There is no pastor. There is no human. He's the resurrection. He is the life. And he says, if you'll believe in me, you will live, even if you die. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Not physically, but literally, spiritually. And he says, do you believe this? Church, that's the question to you today. Do you believe that? And that right there, church, is the message of life. The message of the gospel of Jesus. He is the resurrection and the life. Reading further up in the book of John, you'll find in chapter 10 the key to all of this, and I began the message with it, and I want you to see it again. Let's read it one more time. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from the Father. So in a fourth way, or in a real way, the fourth person that Jesus raised from the dead was himself. You say, no, wait, how could he do that? He specifically said, no one takes my life from me, but I willingly lay it down. And notice also he says, I also have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Wow. Nobody can do that but Jesus. Now, people will say, well, the Bible says that God raised Jesus from the dead. Let me give you the scripture so you can, I agree. Acts 2, verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. We also find, though, if we want to split theological hairs, I could say the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. The Bible says in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life in your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. So who was it? Was it Jesus? Was it Father? Was it the Spirit? Yes. Amen. It was all of the above. Because earlier in John chapter 2 in verse 19, this is what Jesus said. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Try to do that, Easter Bunny. So who raised Jesus from the dead? Was it God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, or Jesus the Son of God? Yes, it was. All three, in fact. All three persons are God, three in one. So God truly raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And on the day he died, the Bible says that there was an earthquake, and we're going to read this. And that earthquake disrupted the tombs in Jerusalem. It opened them up. Could have been King David's. Could have been Simeon, who saw Jesus when Mary and Joseph presented him in the temple. Before he died, he saw the Son of God. I don't know exactly who these saints were, but Matthew records in chapter 27 of the book bearing his name, verses 50 through 54, that many bodies of the saints who had died earlier were raised after Jesus was raised. Watch this. Now, two things are happening. Something happens on the day Jesus dies, and something happens again on the day after Jesus is risen. All dealing with these tombs. Here it is. And Jesus cried out again, just like he did when he rose Lazarus, with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The veil in the temple, there was an outer court where anyone could be. There was an inner court. There was a holy place. Only Levites could go in there. And then there was the most holy place, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the presence of God would come down in fire between the cherubim on top of the altar, the lid of the altar. That's where the blood was sprinkled of the innocent lamb. There was a veil, there was a curtain between the holy place and the most holy place. That was torn in two, signifying there's a direct now access to God. He's the great high priest. He's the great sacrifice. He is what brings us to God. Now watch this. So the veil of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. And the rocks were split. Everybody say earthquake. Here it is. The tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, Matthew's jamming all of this together. He's got a story to tell, and he's so excited he's telling it. It didn't happen the very same day because the Bible says Jesus is the first fruits of resurrection. So they did not rise the day, exact day Jesus died. But the tombs were opened. The earthquake opened the tombs. Now watch this. Verse 52, tombs are open. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Are you getting something out of this? And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, there it is. There's the proof. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection, and they entered the holy city, Jerusalem, and they appeared to many. Whew. Now, watch this in verse 54. Now, the centurion, everybody say, the enemy Roman army, the officer of the enemy Roman army, centurion. This centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, as he's being crucified, they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening. And they became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. The Pharisees won't believe, but their enemies will. Wow. So here, some of the tombs around Jerusalem are shattered and laid open by the earthquake, but the dead bodies which were in them did not come to life till Christ's resurrection had taken place. So after Jesus is resurrected, so were many of these saints who had died and were entombed in Jerusalem. We're not told who these saints were, but that it happened is recorded. They went into the holy city, Jerusalem, that city where Jesus had been condemned, and they appeared to many there that was undeniable evidence of the resurrection. Even the unbelieving centurion who's at the crucifixion, when he sees how Jesus dies, when he sees the earthquake and all the things that are happening, becomes very frightened and declares Jesus is the Son of God. So even though Jesus himself did not appear again in Jerusalem to everybody else except the disciples, provision was made by God that the fact of his resurrection should be left in no doubt. So I close. Since we know that God raised Jesus from the dead, God desires to quicken you to eternal life as well. And his Spirit can do just that. When God brings a person to repentance and faith in Jesus, they're born again, or born from above by God's Spirit, John chapter 3. You become a brand new creation in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're now seen as having Jesus' very own righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, if all of us sitting in this room and those of you listening online, unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we too will die a physical death. My question is, will you be raised to life? Because the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 53. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When Jesus died, he died with a human body. When Jesus was resurrected, he was resurrected with a human body, but it was now imperishable, immortal. Right now, we have a mortal body. But one day, when those tombs are opened, that mortal body will put on immortality. That corruptible body will put on incorruption. The spirit and soul will unite back with the body. That's why the dead in Christ raise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. The Bible says in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It doesn't mean that's when it's going to happen. Now you see me, now you don't. I'm gone. No. When Jesus was resurrected, they saw him. They saw him ascend. In fact, Jesus could literally go through a door now, go through a wall now. Matter didn't matter to the immortal body. And that's why our bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This mortal body will put on immortality. And when the rapture happens, that's what's going to happen to our body. And that roof won't hold me in. If it happens on a Sunday and I'm preaching and the trumpet sounds, I'm ready, Lord. My body's going to change. You say, man, this does sound like science fiction. It's all in the Bible. This is better than science fiction. It's real. And the body's going to change, and that roof is not going to matter anymore. I'm going to go right through it. And that's why I believe just how Jesus rose and went to heaven, it wasn't a now you see me, now you don't, clothes nicely folded in an airplane, whatever. It makes great movies, but you know what? I think the world's going to see it. I think there's some people going to be driving on the interstate, and one of you folks, well, you're going to be driving beside them or coming towards them, and your car is one day, they're going to see there's a man or woman in the vehicle. All of a sudden, they start rising up through the roof. Whoa! And then wrecks are going to happen. Airplanes are going to go down. You know, sometimes the world's like, man, if we could just get rid of the Christians, man, it'll be great. Hey, when you get rid of the Christians and all the Christians leave the planet, it's going to be chaos. Can I get an amen? Listen, it's all about life. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. In church, there were on the cross two men, and both of them at one point were mocking Jesus and ridiculing him and saying, if you had the power and you did all these things, take yourself down off the cross. Take us off the cross. Two thieves on either side of him. But the Bible says that before it was all done, in fact, there's been some people say, well, the Bible says that both of them were mocking him. And then the Bible then says that the other guy is asking Jesus to forgive him. So the Bible's inconsistent. No. What happened? Both of it happened. Don't raise your hands, but have you ever been guilty of mocking Jesus? Have you ever been guilty of taking his name in vain? Have you ever been guilty, after you came to know him as Lord and Savior, of not standing up for him in front of somebody else? All of his disciples were. If you are, you're in good company, because there was not one of them left, not one. Yeah, Judas betrayed him, but they all denied him. I don't know if you caught it in the video that we were watching before communion, but as he is looking, he's looking at one of those disciples, and the disciple he's looking at and he's giving the cup to is Judas. He trusted him with the money. He was his treasurer. And not only did he deny him, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of coin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And church, we are in a national mess. Our nation needs Jesus. Our families need Jesus. Our school kids need Jesus. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the fixer of broken things. He's the healer of hurt hearts. In this world, you're going to get hurt. Jesus was hurt. Yet, as they're spitting at him, as they're mocking him, as they're crucifying him, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And he's just simply saying, come. The Bible says what he gave to John in the book of Revelation. Part of the last thing that he said is he said, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if you'll open the door, it sounds a lot like what he said in John. I am the door. If you enter through me, you got it made. Amen. I don't know about you, but our nation doesn't need any more infighting. Our nation needs the answer, and the answer isn't more attacking and hurting and blame casting and talking bad about everything. We need Jesus, and we need love, and we need God to forgive. But listen, we need sin to be called sin, and we need sin to be removed. We need to walk away from it. We need to say, hey, that's sin. That I love you, brother, but man, listen, that is sin, and that's going to take you to hell. And I'm just saying this not to judge you, but I'm telling you that the devil, he wants you to believe that that's okay, and you can be okay with God. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said it's sin. Listen, I can't make what Jesus said was sin okay. I never will. I never can. I'm just one of those preachers that are going to preach from this. And I believe that when we preach from this, God will take care of the rest. Because the Holy Spirit has a way of going into places. All I got to do is say the word, speak the seed, plant the seed. God is the one that's going to water it. God is the one that's going to bring the increase. And so, my question to you today is this. When that rapture comes, are you ready? Or let's say the rapture doesn't happen before you die. Are you ready for that? Because, church, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about the percentage rate of death. It's 100%. Outside of the rapture, we're all going to die. And the Bible says, after death, then comes the judgment. Are we ready for that? Is there anything in our life right now that if we stood before God, we would say, man, I wish I'd have taken care of that? I would rather stand up for God here, now, and take any brunt from the world than to not stand up for Him here, now, and deal with God. Bow with me. All over this room and all over where you're watching or listening today. It's very simple. Jesus is the door. He's the way, the truth, the life. He is the resurrection and the life. And He's offering to you eternal life. If you've received it, stay on fire for God. If you've received it and you've grown cold, come back. And He'll light you on fire again. If you're away from God right now in any way, I ask you to pray this prayer. Father God, hear my heart. Forgive my sin. Bring me home. Let your Spirit touch me now. I leave all sin behind. Let my decisions be marked by you and what you would do. Let healing come and forgive me, I pray. Let life flow into me again. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I pray that you'd be all over this nation, all over America, and even all over the world, Lord. Father, let a new thing be done in the spirit realm. Let another great awakening happen amongst us, we pray. I pray, Lord God, that it will begin in the hearts and lives of your people, that it will start also in the pulpits across America. I pray, Lord, that righteousness would prevail. I pray, Lord, that resurrection life will be preached. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that all confusion would be bound. I pray, Lord, that sin will be known as sin. And I pray, God, that people will come to you in the droves. And Father, I thank you that this is the day we celebrate Jesus' resurrection. We thank you, God, that you are over every issue that we face. Lord, there is no power from darkness, from the enemy, the thief, the stealer, the killer, that can do anything greater than what you can do to stop it. Your word says that you came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Let us walk out of this place with abundant life. And if that's your prayer, say a big amen. Amen. I love you guys. Hey, this is a day to keep celebrating Jesus. Love on people. If you're going out to eat somewhere, let that give that waitress a good tip. Let them know, hey, it's good to have you today. Love y'all. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Enjoy your Resurrection Sunday.